AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Matt and Brett here today, and Gade. Hi, guys.
Hi there, Matt.
Are you excited about tonight, man?
Oh, absolutely looking forward. Finally, we get all the candidates on one stage.
Well, I mean, well, not really, but all the candidates are met that
criteria. All the ones that are going to win. I mean, no one that's not on that stage is going to win.
I agree with what Stein said last week, which was someone who is on the stage right now will not be on the stage of the next debate, and someone who is not on the stage right now will be on the stage for the next debate.
Oh, that I agree with.
I don't know. I just – it's kind of like – it's painful to a point to watch Amy Klobuchar right now because I have not seen her – you know, she hasn't gotten that bump yet. And Buttigieg has gotten that bump. You know, Kamala Harris has gotten that bump. And she just is kind of like leveled out. It was hard at the state fair to see her kind of get, you know, schooled by Elizabeth Warren in the poll that, in her own home state.
Oh, more than doubled. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's got to be hard. But the reality is that I get it. When you apply Stein's theory of radio, or of running for office. And that is that when you're doing the primary, you run towards the extremes. When you're doing the general election, you run back to the middle. Klobuchar is a good candidate because she has enough name recognition and appeal to where she kind of the primaries are always kind of a slam dunk for her, no problems. So she's been able to focus on the moderate element of it, undercutting Republicans pretty easily. I mean, they ran Neuberger against her, for God's sakes. We called that race in, you know, 2017.
Who can forget the powerhouse Kurt Bills?
Kurt. No one in the Republican Party wants to run against her because she's able to run a moderate campaign through the entire season. Well, now she's on the stage and it's almost as if she's forgotten that you need to be a little more progressive. You don't have to be Bernie Sanders, but you can't be, you know, middle of the road, you know, I'm going to work with the other side as your starting point, a.k.a. Tulsi Gabbard. You can't do that. And so I keep waiting for her to kind of pick up more steam, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of extra steam there. We'll have to see. I think if she
dig there at Tulsi. She's got some rather enthusiastic followers.
Yeah, the Trump
I'll
trolls.
Leave that at
yeah, the Trump trolls. Yeah, they'll say, yeah, they love her. She's like I said, she's running like crazy down in South Carolina. When I was down there a few weeks ago, there are billboards everywhere for Tulsi. But you know, I think that's her Hail Mary. That's the one chance she's got. And if she finishes third or fourth, I mean, let's be honest. We're really kind of seeing who's auditioning for the cabinet positions at this point. You know, who's looking at, you know, and Tulsi would be a fantastic Secretary of Defense, Joint Chief of Staff. You know, you have some, you know, maybe UN ambassador to the UN. She'd be a very good choice there. Klobuchar, hands down, I'd either put her in education or in health and human services. Absolutely. Maybe even HUD, but I probably would education or health and human services without a doubt. But I think we're kind of got the idea who the final five are going to be. Biden, Warren, Bernie, Kamala Harris, and Buttigieg. I mean, all five of them are actually polling ahead of Trump right now. And granted, it's really early, but we'll have to see. I mean, you do have, you know, Beto has done some resonated some more with and his outrage at the shootings from his state have, you know, once again shown the humanity of individuals who have just basically had it with gun slaughters. And that's the case. Yang is going to be up there. I mean, he's got a very vocal following. Castro, you know, you're going to have a Booker. You know, there are, you know, candidates up there that, you know, could they, you know, get fire going? They could, but they really kind of need to do it now. I'd say by mid-October, if you're not polling better than 4%, and that's a fair number, I'd say 4%. If you're not polling by that by mid-October, you know, what are you doing then? I mean, and the audition's over at this point. We all know who you are and what your strengths would be. So what are you doing at that point? So we'll have to see. The reason I'm bringing all this up, of course, is the debate tonight. Now, you don't go online to try to get tickets. You can get tickets at the door at the Park Tavern. We are going to be in the 11th frame. and we're going to be having a lot of fun. We're going to have, of course, we have the debate on the TVs. We'll have, and you know, Park Tavern's got the appetizers, which are part of your admission. We got bingo, plenty of prizes, plus the debate on, and you can make your own choice. And like I said, I'm just a bubbling idiot here. I have no problem admitting that. I'm a moron. I this is my own thoughts. You need to make your own choices. That's my intelligent advice to you today. Watch, make your own call. And just remember this, if your candidate wins, great, let's go win in 2020. If your candidate doesn't win, sorry, but let's get unified on the Democratic side and go win and, you know, beat the living daylights out of Trump in 2020. But needless to say, make up your own mind. And you can do so by going to the debate party tonight. We look forward to seeing you. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be rainy out anyway, so come join us. Have some fun. The debate starts at 7. The doors will open at 6:30. I'll be out there. Of course, the repertoire guys are going to be out there. We'd love to see you out there as well. So stop on by the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, and online at parktavern.net. 952-946-6205. I want to revisit once again, and I still have yet to hear, in regards to the police shooting that happened in Richfield with Edina and Richfield police, where the Quinones was shot after apparently, allegedly running a red light in Edina, and he fled police. He refused to follow orders, had a knife in his hand, and was shot, by the accounts of the video, 10 times by police. I would be interested to know where those bullets hit, because once again, as we've discussed a few times on this show, okay, running a red light is not an executionable offense in the state of Minnesota. Disobeying a police officer's orders is not supposed to be an executionable offense in the state of Minnesota. And frankly, bringing out a knife, I am not joking. I understand that the knife can cause some injury, but by all accounts, he wasn't near a police officer. He wasn't threatening a police officer. No police officer was injured in this case. It was a guy bringing a knife to a gunfight, and there were 10 guns, and I'm presuming some tasers as well available. And yet this guy is dead, shot 10 times. And once again, holding a knife and refusing to drop it, I don't believe that in the state of Minnesota, that's an executionable offense. And so, I mean, I've been very quick to say, I'm very questioning of this, because once again, here you have the maximum use of force possible in a case where running, you know, some traffic violations, refusing to follow police orders, and holding a knife. Police having the ability to be judge, jury, and executioner, it just, that does not rest well with me. Especially when, by the sounds of it, you could have shot him in the leg, you could have shot him in the foot, and by the way, he's like, Matt, shooting him in the leg is hard. Well, shooting him in the head is hard. I don't know where you shot him. Aiming center mass is not exactly probably the best idea if you don't want to kill the guy. And I mean, and is that the mindset of the police? Is that, well, I guess we have to kill him now? Because if that's your mindset, then you probably should not have a badge, frankly. But some people have come after me, and they've been critical of me, and they've said, Matt, you can't say that. You're just against all police. No. There are definitely times when police pulling a gun and shooting and killing an individual are justified. As a matter of fact, let's go to Hermantown. The St. Louis County Attorney's Office has ruled the two officers involved in the killing a suspect in Hermantown in May were justified. Their actions were taken in self-defense of both themselves and others, said St. Louis County Attorney Mark Rubin. The suspect, Timothy Russell Marchak, 37, died after being shot by Deputy Jason Coolney and then hit by a vehicle driven by Deputy Troy Fraish. The May 4th incident was investigated by the Minnesota Department of Criminal Apprehension along with the St. Louis County Attorney's Office, Cook County Attorney's Office. According to the investigative reports, the events were put into motion when Marchak refused orders by Cooley to drop the handgun he was brandishing. This happened to be after a high-speed chase near Highway 53 and Stebner Roads behind Skyline Lanes, where the suspect was on a motorcycle. Rather than comply with the deputy's directives, Marchak chose instead to fire his weapon at the deputy, placing the deputy in danger of great bodily harm and death. Squad car video also revealed the suspect placed a gun to his head during the incident response. Now, him trying to kill himself is not justification for you to kill him, per se. I don't think that we deal with suicides in Minnesota. So, well, you know, we doing the, you know, Mel Gibson and Lethal Weapon method of dealing with that. Cooley opened fire, fatally wounding Marchek. Deputy Frisch, observing the encounter, was in his police vehicle, and he saw Marchek raising his firearm again, responded to assist Deputy Cooley, and employed a means available at the time, his vehicle, to protect Cooley from great bodily harm. So, basically, here's a case. Guy pulls a gun. Guy starts firing off rounds. Of course, the police shooting is justified at this point. And by the way, heads up on the deputy with the car. Because, you know, it's if, you know, and here's, it doesn't necessarily mean to be a gun. But if the other person is using something that is definitely trying to kill someone else, then all bets are off. And the officer was justified in hitting him with the car. And the other officer was justified in shooting him because he was shooting at the officer. So this is not I am not one of these people where no officer should ever pull a gun. No, 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 no. There are clearly times where the case calls for it. But versus these officers up in St. Louis County who definitely did the right thing. You know, they had to deal with a life or death situation. Well, you have 10 police officers pulling it all with guns. A guy gets out of the car with a knife and how you got to explain this one better to me, Matt. He could have hurt someone with a knife. Well, if he had hurt anyone with a knife, then maybe it might be a little more justified in, I don't know, shooting him in the leg. But if you listen to the audio of the tape, and this is the part which is getting, this is why I think police are on edge, is because this audio kind of throws a lot of questions out there. Five shots fired, then a gap, and then five more shots fired. Dear Lord, I mean, one shot, I mean, shouldn't you just designate one person? If one person has to take the shot, who's your best shot here? Okay, Smith, you're the best shot. If he starts getting to a point where someone's going to get hurt, drop him, hit him in the leg. All right, fine. That's not the case. And don't these guys, aren't they tasers? I've seen tasers on a lot of police officers. You're telling me a taser wouldn't have dropped this guy? And don't give me this crap about it. He was the villain in Die Hard. We shot him 19 times and Jason Voorhees came out of the crypt again, crawling out, and he was hard to kill. Come on. I've talked about this before. I was in the military. I've fired enough weapons in my life. One bullet hit someone's leg. They're not getting up. They're not getting up. You know, there's a reason why people die of one bullet being shot at them. They do a tremendous amount of damage. And a taser, you know, man, he could have been high PCP. He could have done this. Don't give me the hypotheticals. What did he actually do? Well, he ran some red lights. He was, you know, driving dangerously. He refused police orders, and he had a knife in his hand. He brought a knife to a gunfight. And he's dead. And you all want to say, well, you know, good kill. I'm sorry that this one's got some questions for me. And once again, and I'm going to repeat this, and I'm going to stand by this one. I would like to understand better what was the initial problem that they had with Quinones. Was it indeed him running a red light, or as a guy who grew up in Edina for a little bit of my life, was it possibly the fact that Quinones did not look white and he was driving in Edina? I would like to know I would like to see the dash cam footage of the vehicle. Could it, you know, hey, I'm not saying it didn't happen the way the officers have said, but we also have a dead guy that was shot 10 times who had a knife in his hand and everyone else had a gun. And where a lot of conservatives and Republicans high five this sort of thing, I'm not necessarily thinking that this is how we should have justice dealt out in our society. And once again, nice job by the two officers up in the Hermantown shooting, because that is a textbook example of very justified use of a weapon, a gun, and the unfortunate death of the suspect to being justified by the officers. Absolutely. 100%. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A reminder, we do actually have a pair of tickets that will be at the door tonight for the debate. We will give those away a little bit later on, so listen for your chance to win on those. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We'll be back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Anytime, Tickets are still available for tonight's Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Watch, react, and discuss Democratic presidential candidates. Make their case for why they're the most qualified to defeat Donald Trump and lead the country. Come and watch this final primary debate in the company of other like-minded progressives. Tickets are still available for only $15 at the door at Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Doors open at 6:30, 1/2 hour before the start of the debate at 7. Your ticket includes a free appetizer with a cash bar. Join Matt McNeil and the entire repartee cortege to share your thoughts on all the debate performances. We will also be playing a debate themed Blue No Matter Who Bingo with a collection of fantastic prizes. And share your solutions for our Minnesota Progressive Repartee Tuesday Solutions Show. We cannot wait to hear them. So come to the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park at 6:30 tonight as we work out who will dump Trump in 2020.
What if we lived in a world where trauma was seen as an accepted, inevitable experience and not a pathological anomaly? What if healing and reversing trauma was the key to obtaining the joy and fulfillment that every human deserves? On Monday, October 7th, join the University of Minnesota for a lecture and discussion on The Transformation, Discovering Wholeness and Healing After Trauma by Dr. James S. Gordon. As a world-recognized authority on post-traumatic stress, Dr. Gordon will be presenting the first comprehensive, evidence-based program for reversing the psychological and biological damage caused by trauma. In The Transformation, Dr. Gordon delivers an inviting narrative that allows readers to easily use his step-by-step evidence-based program to reverse the psychological and biological damage that trauma causes and to restore their hope and heal themselves. The cost for the lecture is $10 and includes a copy of The Transformation, Discovering Wholeness and Healing After Trauma. There will be a book signing and reception after the lecture. Space is limited. Register now at csh.umn.edu.
Parade of Homes.
Your new home is waiting on the Parade of Homes. Tour hundreds of new homes going on now. Pick up your free guidebook at holiday and plan your tour at paradeofhomes.org. Sponsored by U.S. Bank.
In today's challenging world, many of us are asking, but what can I do? I'm Gail Shore with Cultural Jambalaya, and I ask the same question, so I formed a small nonprofit to try to make a difference. We create educational videos featuring my global photography and cultural experiences that we offer to teachers without charge to broaden worldviews of their students. These videos help to break down cultural barriers and promote understanding and respect for all people. That's what we do. We also know that there are many others doing great work, and we recognize them at our annual Diversity Awards. This year, we'll celebrate students from Stillwater, Asian American leaders, and educators from South St. Paul and Rochester. The Cultural Jambalaya Diversity Awards will take place Thursday, October 3rd at the Metropolitan in Golden Valley.
And while tickets for the Cultural Jambalaya are now sold out, you can still follow along what's happening by going to their social media accounts. Just search Cultural Jambalaya or visit their website at culturaljam.org. That's culturaljam.org.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, Brett, I'm tired. You know why?
Ooh, why is that?
I mowed with wet grass. My grass is getting way too long.
See, I've been down here in the bunker of the basement. When did it stop raining today?
It actually stopped for about a three-hour window, okay. At least in Hopkins. Although, did you see some of the videos out of South Dakota? Just the fields are inundated.
Really?
Oh, they're flowing like a river. It's weird. Anyway, no, I had a window, and I said, my grass, it's almost harvest time. I either need to go over and get a big harvester or had to mow it. So I decided to try to mow it. I'm tired, man.
No kidding. That probably took forever to do.
Yeah, it's half my grass. My grass looks like I took a weed whacker to a kid's head. You know, it's like it's sticking up all over the place. It doesn't look the best, but I got it done. Ugh. It is going to be raining. As a matter of fact, they're still saying that flash flood watch is in effect until 7 o'clock tonight. Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised by that. I saw a lot of standing water as I was driving around today, so just be careful out there.
You think the Twins will get their game in tonight?
Well, that field drains water real well. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're at the time of the year that it will – if unless it's lightning out, they'll play that game. There was a game – one of the games I saw was the highlights yesterday. They were playing in a downpour. They are just that we're not missing these games. Right. We're not going to have make good dates. We have to get these games in. So, no, they're going to play that game tonight.
Yeah, because they got to fly out to Cleveland right away tomorrow, so yep. They can't really stay late.
Oh, no, tonight, yeah, they'll be on a flight tonight. So 952-946-6205. Two stories I want to touch on from the City Pages, folks. First is, did you see the ad in the football game? It's a political ad. It's one of these, you know, groups, 501c3 groups or something. Nurse calls two patients at a hospital. She's interrupted by Suit Man, who says he's with big insurance. Tells everyone to leave. They're closing the hospital, he explains. It's, by the way, really? That'd be that sudden? I don't think it'd be that sudden. Anyway, because insurance companies teamed up with Congress in a scheme called government rate setting. And basically he means what that is implying is it's doctor shortages and hospital closures. It then urges you to contact Tina Smith among those behind the assault on your healthcare. I don't know why they're not saying go after Amy Klobuchar, but specifically targeting Smith, I think obviously because Smith being up for re-election here next year. The commercials are the work of something called doctor-patient unity, though you'll be hard to question any patients involved in this equation. The group doesn't disclose who's running it, nor the money folks forking over the cash. The millions it's spent here, it's including $277,000 aimed at Tina Smith alone. All that's known is that it shares the same address as a prominent Republican law firm in Virginia. Its motive, on the other hand, isn't hard to figure out. It's hoping to keep legal one of the most lucrative schemes in medicine, the scam called surprise billing. Now, I can't tell you how many friends I've had that have been absolutely jobbed by this. Nearly 40% of Americans have fallen victim to this. It happens when you go to an emergency room or even sometimes it's scheduled surgery. You make sure the hospital is covered by your insurance, but you're not so you're basically not getting a ton of out-of-network cost. But then you get a bill, and the hospital didn't tell you was that the doctor performing your emergency appendectomy is not covered by your insurance. And by the way, actually, this did happen to me directly on a periodontal procedure where the periodontist, I guess, would be was not covered in my network, but was filling in, helping to fill in at that place for the day. And I'm like, why didn't you say anything? Well, we wanted you to do the surgery. So we ended up having to fork over another $1,000 out of pocket for that procedure because they didn't tell us that the person who was actually doing the procedure on me wasn't actually part of the network. So that, you know, it's happened to me as well. But basically you get, the anesthesiologist, it could be, was there, could be someone else. Then you get a bill that can run four, five, even six figures. And if it's something like a heart attack, you know, it can even be, you know, way up there. There's a good chance it could lead you to a financial ruin. In Denver alone, one collection agency placed 170 liens on homes due to unpaid medical bills through this, scam called surprise billing. The whole scheme is like buying a house, finding out there's a separate bill for the kitchen. And that's kind of the way you think about it. There's a movement now to make the practice illegal. And some, you know, idea here, the backing is not just Democrats, but Republicans and Trump as well as signaled that he's also for this. The number of bills being bandied by Congress would force doctors and hospitals to negotiate directly with your insurer, or the government would set rates for them instead of allowing them to bill whatever they wish after the fact. So basically, that you can the hospital and the doctors can no longer just basically keep their lack of coverage secret, and they have to cover everything. But that's, of course, now we're leading back to this group who basically is trying to make it seem like if you pass this bill and get a fair billing practice, we're going to shut down every hospital in the country. Yeah, that sort of thing. God, I hate that. Anyway, needless to say, I would contact Tina Smith's office and I would tell her by all means to, make sure that we get rid of this surprise billing stuff. I think that it would be a fine, fine idea. As a matter of fact, some callers, let's do this. 952-946-6205. David is in San Francisco, California. Hey, David, how are you, my friend?
Hey, not too bad, Matt. Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about this. You remember the old Michael Moore did a movie about, I think he called it Sicko.
Yep, Sicko.
And it came out probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's this section in there about how corporate medicine got introduced into America. And he gives this example, and during the Nixon Watergate tapes, there was a little passage in there where John Ehrlichman is talking with Nixon about how they can tear apart the Hippocratic Oath. And the original Hippocratic Oath said that if, you know, you're the doctor, right? If a patient approaches you, you must give them aid before bartering for money, right? So
yeah.
you heal first, money later. Heal first, money later. So what Ehrlichman and Nixon were up to was they came up with this plan, so they put so many bureaucrats in front of the doctor that a patient could never come to them. And so they got them all hooked up to HMOs and to big, you know, medical corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And basically before, you know, during the 60s and before, there were plenty, hundreds, thousands of doctors, probably millions, actually, across America. There were just single shop. You know, you go down on Main Street and there's Doc's office.
Well, and David, I want to step in here, and I appreciate the phone call, because his point is exactly right. They changed healthcare. I mean, we used to have non-profit hospitals, and those kind of got rid of those. There was a new – one of the Republicans just put forward an idea saying, well, if you want health care, you need to negotiate it with your doctor beforehand. You go get service. But if you're up front and you negotiate it first, guess what? You'll get service. It's not how it works. You can't barter. When did all of a sudden this become, you know, some street market, you know? Hey, yep, got an appendectomy there you need, huh? I got a juicy one for you. $20. No. Well, yeah, $20. $20,000. How about we do it like that? But yeah, no, it's they've really screwed up medicine. And once again, there is a shadiness, and don't understand, there is a shadiness here that's being put into place where there is, you know, just think about this. The doctors, the anesthesiologists, the people that are involved are trying to keep it quiet that they are not covered by your insurance. There is no upfront, oh, by the way, we're going to have an anesthesiologist who's not going to be covered by your insurance, so you're going to have to pay full rate for them. They don't tell you that. It's a surprise bill later, because the way they get away with it is they just call it the procedure, and then it's sort of like getting sour cream on a burrito. All of a sudden, wait a minute here. Why does my doctor cost me an extra $40,000? That's what they're trying to get rid of. This agency says, no, that's good for America. I hope all of them burn in hell. Let's go to Jeff in Minneapolis really quick before we get to the break. Welcome on in, Jeff.
I'll make it real quick. Thanks, Matt.
You got it.
I had a friend that was in a motorcycle accident, and he ended up at the emergency room. He got a bill for $250,000 plus a lien on his house. And luckily, the insurance covered it, but very scary. And yes, I do believe hell holds a special place for people that advocate that. That's all I have, Matt.
Thanks.
Have a great day.
You too, Jeff. Take care. No, I when my daughter had a fracture, she had a skull fracture, and we went in. It was very undeniable. We'd love to send the doctor on in here, but first, can we see your insurance card? And do you have a credit card we could also hold on? That'd be great. You know, it's disturbing. In this day and age, the fact that we as a nation are supposed to be compassionate. We're supposed, you know, all these so-called Christians put forward their faith, and they put all this, oh, I'm a Christian, all this, and yet all the stories about taking care of the sick and the needy, taking care of the poor, all those, they completely ignore them. But hey, Leviticus said something about gays, so, you know, it is a travesty we're at this point. But reminder, and I said this yesterday, I'm going to repeat it again. First time in 10 years, we have now, again, more uninsured people than we did last year, thanks to Donald Trump. We were starting to fix this problem, and it's now starting to get worse. So, by all means, vote a ton of Democrats in there, and let's fix this system, because it ain't going to get fixed unless we get a lot of Democrats in there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Ooh, Draz has a 9/11 message. I'll get to that. Drazkowski is hitting the Facebook. Oh, yeah, with that face. All right, we'll be back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Hi, Matt McNeil inviting you to join AM 950 Radio tonight as we host a Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Come view the spectacle from Houston with like-minded progressives. We'll have bingo, great prizes, delicious appetizers from the Park Tavern as part of your admission, and drink specials too. Tickets are $15 and you can get them at the door until we're full. Doors open at 6:30. Debate at 7 tonight. It's the AM 950 debate watching party at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. See you there.
Hi, I'm Peter Solak.
And I'm Adam Ostrowski.
We are here at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to talk about the joy of live fire cooking. Cooking over a live fire is the oldest and most basic form of cooking.
What's new is in the way a fire is handled and its heat is managed.
It's easier to experience and enjoy the smell and taste of food cooked over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces sells and installs live fire grills, fire pits, and ovens. Let us help you experience the smell, the taste, the fun of cooking with fire.
Pizza was first made and is still best made in an open fire oven. The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads, too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Not only does Rudy Luther Toyota have a great selection of new vehicles, but Rudy Luther is also one of the largest volume Toyota certified used vehicle dealers in the country. Currently, they have almost 300 certified used vehicles in stock, and many of them qualify for financing as low as 1.9%. They have better prices than many non-certified dealers, offer the 7-year 100,000-mile warranty, and their vehicles go through a comprehensive inspection and reconditioning process. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. You can also still win tickets, too. Yes. As a matter of fact, if you are available tonight and you would like to join us at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Caller number 5. Let's do caller number 5. You're going to win a pair of tickets tonight to the debate watching party at the Park Tavern. Once again, it comes with appetizers from the Park Tavern, as well as also you got the bingo. We got tons of prizes. We're going to have a lot of fun out there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's do caller number 5 on that. You can get, but one reminder, you have to be available to go tonight. And it is tonight, and I'd love to see you out there, because I'll be out there myself. So if you want to come on out and hang out with us, by all means, please do. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Dreskowski, of course, it took a break from his hating on Ilhan Omar, and on Patriot Day, he shared a Facebook meme about Donald Trump. And if you've not seen this, and this is courtesy of Blue Stem Prairie, if you've not seen the image here, this is something I've actually seen around a few times. 2 days following the attacks, it's a picture of Trump, and you know it's younger Trump, definitely thinner Trump, but definitely younger too. 2 days following the attacks on 9/11, Donald Trump was at Ground Zero with hundreds of workers that he paid out of his own pocket to help find and identify victims. This was many years before he would even think of running for president. He's been supporting the America he loves for decades, but you never see this kinds of stories from liberal media. Ooh, zinger, you got a burn on me. Actually, no, not really. Because let's break down this one a little bit. First of all, the image is not from 2 days after the 9/11 attack. It's actually from 7 days. On the 18th of September that year, the particular image used in this post was not taken 2 days after the attack. According to Getty Images, the archive, the picture was actually captured September 18th. It was also not at Ground Zero. Where was it? It was at the New York Stock Exchange by New York News Daily photographer Todd Mazel. So the photo that's in here is not as described. It is not Donald Trump rolling up his sleeves down at Ground Zero 2 days after the 9/11 attacks. It's him on Wall Street 7 days later. Okay, but Matt, shouldn't take away from the fact that he paid for what was the term here? He paid with Ground Zero with hundreds. That's not a hundred. That's hundreds. That would mean multiple hundreds of his own workers that he paid for out of his own pocket to help and find and identify victims. It's something that the problem is. That doesn't seem to make any sense. The groups that ran the recovery efforts, there were many large groups that came in, and they were kept track of. They were told to report to certain people, and there seems to be no record of a Donald Trump-led hundreds. We're talking 200-300 people that Trump paid for out of his own pocket. There doesn't seem to be any record of this. And let's just be honest about who Donald Trump is for a second. There's no way in hell that if he actually did do this, that he wouldn't be out there. I got my, those are the Trump workers. Those are the hundreds of these hundreds of people here. They're for me. Whenever you see one of them, you think about me actually doing the work that they're doing. Of course he would be. But yet no one seems to recognize that Trump was down at Ground Zero. No one has any records of any Trump groups from Ground Zero. And there's no managers, any of the people that were running the recovery operations down on Ground Zero and 9/11. No one was down there actually remembers ever seeing a Trump group. So by all accounts, this is just a made up lie. By the way, congratulations to James in Minneapolis, winner. We'll see you tonight, James, at the Park Tavern in Louisiana. You can show up, too. We'll see everyone at the door. Get out there. We'll have fun. It's going to be a blast night at the Park Tavern, Louisiana Avenue, north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park. So, once again, according to Steve Drazkowski, who hates liars. Oh, does he hate liars? Have you seen that bony albino-esque finger of his wagon? Oh, my God, does he hate? He hates? Oh, he's got his wagon finger out. According to Steve Drazkowski, I imagine he's furious about this post because it's all lies. The photo doesn't match. Photo wasn't at Ground Zero. And no one has any idea about these hundreds of people. And to this point, no, Trump hasn't produced any receipts or pay stubs or anything like that saying that he paid these people to be down there. And there were a lot of people that went down there. But even the individuals actually had their name written down. And no one seems to be working with, has any idea what Trump is talking about. But that doesn't stop Drazkowski. The numerous people have taken on this meme. And, you know, and once again, Trump is just, he's making it up. But this is not the first time. As a matter of fact, when you look at 9/11, there is no man who has made up more stories about it than Trump. Now, this is from yesterday. I'm going to read. This is the quote from Trump from yesterday. I vividly remember when I first heard the news. Now, okay, I'm going to stop right there. He vividly remembers. Yesterday, he mentioned his own son by implying that it was Melania's kid and not his. Whew. Wow. Yes, he has a grasp of the facts, doesn't he, folks? I vividly remember when I first heard the news. I was sitting at home watching a major business television show. Early that morning, Jack Welch, the legendary head of General Electric, was about to be interviewed when all of a sudden they cut away. At first, there were different reports. It was a boiler fire, but I knew that boilers aren't at the top of the building. It was a kitchen explosion on Windows of the World. Nobody really knew what happened. There was a great confusion. I was looking out at the window at the building in Midtown Manhattan directly at the World Trade Center when I saw the second plane at a tremendous speed go into the second tower. It was then I realized the world was going to change. Wow. Now, thank God he made 9/11 all about himself, isn't it? Jesus. Enough about those victims. More about Trump. God, what an ass. What an ass. Anyway, he made those yesterday, the 18th anniversary of the September 11th attacks. Trump has told various versions of the story and seeing the second jet hit the World Trade Center during the September 11th attacks. He usually says he was in Trump Tower, which is 4 miles from where the World Trade Center was, though in his most recent remarks, he has said he was in a building in Midtown Manhattan after apparently being at home, Trump Tower, when the first plane struck. That seems like he's lying. It seems like he's all of a sudden, unless he's discovered teleportation, which would explain the weight gain. I don't think he's telling the truth. Certainly from his vantage point at Trump Tower, he would have been seen smoke billowing from the World Trade Center, but a full view might have been obscured by the Empire State Building. There is a photo of it showing that the Empire State Building does indeed block a good chunk of the World Trade Center view from the Trump Tower. The first plane, American Flights 11, hit the World Trade Center tower before 8:47 a.m. The second plane hit Tower 2 at 9:03, 16 minutes later. In his first interview after the attacks with New Jersey radio station WWOR, Trump did not mention seeing the second plane. He instead referenced an explosion that he said he saw from his office. I have a window that looks directly at the World Trade Center, and I saw this huge explosion. I was with a group of people. I really couldn't believe it. Rockefeller Center is a few blocks south of Trump Tower, with a clear view of the Twin Towers, certainly offered a view of the second plane hitting the tower, as can be seen in the video below. But Trump in 2015 also suggested at a campaign rally that he watched people jump from the buildings. I have a window from my apartment that specifically was aimed at the World Trade Center. So now, once again, his apartment's in the Trump Tower. That can't see the building. His office is in Rockefeller Center, which he can see the building, but he can't see it that close. But now he's back to saying he was in his own building, seeing the people jump out of the buildings. I have windows in my apartment that are specifically aimed at the World Trade Center because of the beauty of the whole downtown Manhattan, and I watched as people jumped, and I watched the second plane come in. To be fair, this instance, he doesn't directly say he saw people jumping, but in another campaign rally, he was more explicit. Many people jumped. I witnessed it. I watched that. I watched those people jump, and I watched the second plane hit. I saw the second plane hit the building, and I said, wow, that's unbelievable. Interestingly, in his WWOR interview, Trump says, I have somebody who was down there who witnessed at least 10 people jumping out of the building from 70 and 80 stories up in the air. He does not say he personally witnessed people jumping out of the buildings. So the most likely explanation is Trump saw the explosion in the second plane, heard about the jumpers, and he recounted his first interview. But over time, he's made the story basically into him being there, and it was him being seeing all this stuff. Because once again, just from his own explanation from his own buildings, he couldn't have seen what he saw. There are other things that he has said about 9/11. His building downtown is now the tallest. 40 Wall Street actually was the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan, and it was actually before the World Trade Center was the tallest, and then they built the World Trade Center and became known as the second tallest, and now it's the tallest again. Trump interviewed with WWOR September 11th. This was an odd claim to make in the midst of tragedy, but it was also wrong. As our colleague pointed out, in 2018, Trump's building was not the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan at the time. It was 25 feet shorter than the 70 Pine Street, a block to the east. There was a period during which Trump was the tallest building in lower Manhattan, but it wasn't immediately before the construction of the World Trade Center in the 70s. It was about 2 years in the 1930s, well before Trump owned it or was born. So there he is once again. And people, let's remember that too. On 9/11, on the day itself, he actually bragged about, now my building's the tallest one in Manhattan. He says he predicted Osama bin Laden. I predicted Osama bin Laden was coming to do damage. In my book, I predicted terrorism. I can feel it. I can feel good location and real estate. Trump in his speech during the 2016 campaign in 2015. In various speeches and interviews, Trump claimed that 2 years before the 9/11 attacks, he warned that Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden was a threat, was going to do damage to the United States. He even predicted the rise of terrorism. This was based on one vague reference to bin Laden in a book he issued in January 2000. Even if his claim was true, Trump would have been echoing predictions of experts, news organizations, and even bin Laden himself, who in media interviews indicated that he planned to attack the United States. In 1999 CNN headline, bin Laden feared to be planning terrorist attack, the article stated. U.S. officials fear the suspected terrorist Osama bin Laden may be in the final stages of planning an attack. So, no, it wasn't Donald Trump, although Drazkowski might believe that. He also said he thought some thousands of Muslims cheer as the towers came down. I mean, that must be a hell of a view he's got from that building, because he can see through the Empire State Building. He can see the perspective from his other building. And then he can actually see across the river into Jersey. I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering that the building was coming down. Trump at a campaign rally, November 21st, 2015. This is one of Trump's most notorious claims. An extensive examination of news clips and video archives turned up next to nothing. A professor had conducted extensive research into rumors of such jubilation and said it was possible that maybe 6 to 12 teenagers had something akin to a celebration on the morning of 9/11 in Paterson, New Jersey, but they quickly dispersed. An MTV clip eventually was unearthed. Some Trump supporters said it was evidence of cheering Muslims. It turned out to be a high school senior was quoted as saying she had seen a group of kids acting up in front of the Paterson courthouse, banging on trash cans and shouting. She does not say they were Middle Eastern or Arab. Trump earned 4 Pinocchios. He spent a lot of time at Ground Zero. That's another claim that he's made. Trump has often suggested that he was at the center of the cleanup effort, but no evidence has emerged to support that claim. A newspaper report placed him near his scene September 14th, talking on a cell phone. You know, in this day and age, we know where you've been. A guy like Donald Trump can't turn the cameras off. So he was talking on a cell phone near Ground Zero on September 14th. A photo of him was taken on September 18th outside the New York Stock Exchange, but an extensive New York Times examination of this claim found no one who could remember him playing any role in the cleanup or even supplying any workers. Nevertheless, in his comments making the 18th anniversary, Trump said, "Soon after I went down to Ground Zero with men who worked for me to try to help any little labor that he could." He is lying. And Steve Drazkowski is putting forward that lie. Steve Drazkowski, who, remind you, he hates liars. That's why he's so intent. It's not about her being a black Muslim woman. It's about stopping liars, Matt. But here is Drazkowski, king liar for the day. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Sam, hold on. Your call after the break. 952-946-6205. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts. 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Join over 300,000 Minnesota families by choosing Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialists. Our customers have helped us be very good at selling, installing, and servicing appliances. We work hard to earn your business. Choose Warner Stelling to be your appliance specialist.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast, and for morning vittles, I head to Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal. My favorite is either the rib scrambler, scrambled eggs with ribs, portobello mushrooms, jalapenos, and pepper jack cheese, or the steak and eggs. My wife loves the pepper jack creamy grits and the stuffed avocados with poached eggs cradled in avocado halves. The kids love the French toast or the stuffed French toast filled with fruit and cream cheese. Top it off with coffee done my way from the Milton's Coffee Bar, and I'm ready for the day. Breakfast is waiting for you at Milton's, 36 and Douglas in Crystal.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
Tickets are still available for tonight's Democratic debate watching party at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Watch, react, and discuss Democratic presidential candidates. Make their case for why they're the most qualified to defeat Donald Trump and lead the country. Come and watch this final primary debate in the company of other like-minded progressives. Tickets are still available for only $15 at the door at Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Doors open at 6:30, 1/2 hour before the start of the debate at 7. Your ticket includes a free appetizer with a cash bar. Join Matt McNeil and the entire repartee cortege to share your thoughts on all the debate performances. We will also be playing a debate themed Lou No Matter Who Bingo with a collection of fantastic prizes. And share your solutions for our Minnesota Progressive Repartee Tuesday Solutions Show. We cannot wait to hear them. So come to the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park at 6:30 tonight as we work out who will dump Trump in 2020.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I like Marla's going, well, we all know Trump doesn't pay anyone, so of course that's a lie. He doesn't even seem to know his own kids, so, you know. But, you know, the good thing is with a Sharpie now, and all you need is, you know, an image, he can just draw anything he wants to. And there I am. Look at me right there at 9/11 Ground Zero. And they love him. And let's just be honest, okay? The modern Republican, the modern voter, the one thing that they can't stand is the feeling that they've been wrong. They have been for 25 years fueled this idea that they're the ones that are right. Everyone else is wrong. that they have been the victims. And so they have put this monstrosity into place. And even though that they are absolutely getting screwed over by this guy on all levels, they are all going to vote for him again. Because for them to not vote for him or not vote at all would be too much for them. It'd be too much of an admission they'd made a mistake. And that is not something that they feasibly can do. They cannot admit they were wrong. So this is not about converting a few of them over to our side. 110 million registered voters did not vote in 2016. You get 30 million of those to the polls, and that entire government changes. It'll make 1930 look like it was a minor sweep. That's what you do. Do forget about them. They will vote for a turnip with an R next to its name because they do not want to admit they were wrong, especially to libs, because that for them would be the greatest that would break them. They'd be weeping in the corner. Sam is in Chanhassen. Thanks for holding, Sam. Welcome on in.
Hey, Matt. I was going to remind you of the New Jersey comment.
Yeah.
The claim that he was from New Jersey and he was watching all of these Muslims cheering. But your show prep was, of course, awesome, and so you already mentioned it. So I decided I'm going to talk about one other thing.
What's that?
The fact that every time we talk about Trump's tweets, two things are happening. First of all, I can feel myself getting dumber every single time I hear about it. The other thing, though, is that I'm discovering that he's treating us like a cat with a laser pointer. He's distracting us intentionally from, you know, the economy, from his incredibly cratering poll numbers, from whatever disaster he's mismanaging, from the fact that he's a Russian spy, you know, from the fact that he's up to his eyeballs in Russian debt. I mean, name the atrocity that he's perpetuating, and he's distracting us from paying attention to that.
Absolutely. No, that's part of the thing which he loves, is he loves the misinformation that he gets with the ability to basically disrupt the world with his Twitter account. And that is who this guy is. He is a sham. He's a fraud. He's a huckster. He's P.T. Barnum without the style. And that's all he is. And I mean, if you think, I want you to sit for a second, ask yourself, what has he really done to help Americans? Nothing. He's been in office for 3 years. He's made health care less affordable and accessible. He created a massive deficit. He hasn't been able to effectively help victims of natural disasters. He hasn't even built his wall. He hasn't. And now he's frantically trying to raid military family housing money so they can do this. Everything he's done, that tax break, that went to most of the wealth of the people. And this trade war, which has been a disaster, that's actually increased your cost $1,000. There is nothing this guy has done outside of legitimized bigotry and racism. So if you're seeing a lot of these people that still love this guy, keep that in mind. It's the fact they love him because he legitimizes bigotry and racism. They're not going to switch their votes. They are just not, no matter how good the Democratic candidate is. Watch the debate. I'll see you tonight at the Park Tavern. Come on out. Join us. We're going to have a lot of fun. Starts at 6:30. Till tomorrow. See ya.